One of the great joys my wife and I have experienced is being it's the joy of being grandparents. What we get to see and cherish the most is the innocence of our grandchildren. We get to enjoy virtually every moment with them, and they are always happy to see us. We're blessed to have 11 grandchildren here on earth and 2 in heaven. Each child has their own unique personality, and they just ooze love from every part of their being. And like many grandparents, we've told our children that we should have just skipped you and gone straight to them. It's true, isn't it? Right? Part of the ease around us is that they know first and foremost that our love for them is truly unconditional. And secondly, they know that we're always there to spoil them. And as grandparents, we don't have to discipline them much, and we don't have nearly the same worries as we did when we were young parents ourselves. Our grandchildren know that when they come to see us, they're going to be spoiled when they come to our house, especially my wife does a great job of spoiling them on their birthdays, which day is solely theirs, dedicated to them. And they get to savor that moment surrounded by love, and they're always filled with excitement. Today, as the Feast of Pentecost, it is our birthday as a church. Today, as children of our Heavenly Father, He showers us completely with His unconditional love and fills us with excitement. Our God, as a gift to us, has given us the great gift of the Holy Spirit, which flows to us freely from the Father and from the Son. This gift of the Holy Spirit, which is given to us freely, has been and will continue to be the instrument by which and through whom we are called to change the world. It is the Spirit who enlightens and guides us. It is the Spirit who fills us with all truth. But let's look back for a moment and reflect upon what our scriptures have taught us. The early disciples, after the death of Jesus, they went around confused and were somewhat depressed. They feared for their very lives, and they went into hiding. Their world had turned completely upside down in just the course of a few days. From their triumphal march into Jerusalem to the nailing of Jesus to a tree, it's no doubt why they were lost and depressed, and perhaps they were even a little bit angry. Why? They had no joy. They lost their joy in that moment. But soon their world would change. News began to spread throughout all of the land that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and their hearts and their minds leapt for joy. Could this possibly be true? Many were privileged to see him, as we heard in the scripture today, and some were only told stories about him and how he had risen from the dead. And yet he performed still great signs in their sight. But he cautioned them. He said, "Don't cling to me, for I must go and I must prepare a place for you alongside my heavenly Father. For in my Father's house there are many rooms, and I promise you that the one which I will send after me, he will be your advocate. He will guide you to all truth. He will reveal to you so much more." And then, after breathing upon them, he filled them with his peace. And with that, he was again physically gone from their presence. See, our Lord knew that if we clung to him, or if we hung on to him and his physical presence, that we could not grow as his church. We could not truly become the body of Christ that he called us to be. If we continued to cling to him, we could not become the effective witnesses for him. We would have been unable to be his instruments, his missionaries, his ambassadors of love to a broken world. But as he rose to be at the side of our heavenly Father, together they gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we are reminded of again today. And Lord knows, this gift changed everything. See, it was the Holy Spirit that filled those early disciples with the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, fortitude, understanding, counsel, piety, and awe of the Lord. Where have we heard that recently? At our confirmations, all right? Many of you, hopefully most of you, remember the day of your confirmation. I was surprised yesterday after serving with the Archbishop at a confirmation mass that he could recall the actual day that he was confirmed. He stated the day by date and year. Now, I don't remember the date and year that I was confirmed. I remember how old I was, and I remember the bishop who confirmed me, but I cannot tell you the date. But these early apostles, as they received this gift, as they received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they began to grow his church. And with that, as St. Paul reminds us, he also filled them with his many fruits. He filled them and he fills us even today with his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his generosity, forbearance, his gentleness. He fills us with faith, courtesy, temperateness, and purity of the heart. How often do we use these gifts that have been given to us? Now, each of these gifts and fruits could be the subject of a separate homily, but I won't go on into each one of them today. But suffice it to say that as much as he filled the early disciples, today you and I are still filled with these gifts and still filled with these fruits. As the disciples' world began to change, they changed. Their hearts became stronger. They no longer feared for their lives, but began to speak out boldly in the name of Jesus. Then, empowered by the Eucharist and filled with these gifts, they converted thousands upon thousands to this new way. Do we use those gifts? Do we use those fruits to convert others around us? St. Paul tells us that we are to live by the Spirit and let the Spirit be the ruler of our lives. This gift of the Spirit, which is given to us first and foremost at baptism, is sealed within us when we were confirmed. And today, as we are reminded again that in order for this birthday gift given to us to be truly a gift, it has to be opened and shared with others. So how are we in this parish opening our birthday gift to share it with others? Remember that God has deemed each and every one of us worthy to receive this gift. Our lives mean something to God. He loves us unconditionally and continues to spoil us immensely. But he does require action on our part. Today we're also introducing to you a little bit about this amazing parish conference that a number of us were privileged to go to in March earlier this year. We, as we listen to some of the most dynamic Catholic speakers around in our culture today, and we began to listen more intently about how we are to be prayer warriors, how we are to be studying the Word, how we are to go about sharing the Word, the five of us that went to this conference began to feel more and more like we were unpacking the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we began to pray about how we could make our parish truly an amazing parish where people would want to come and worship with us each and every Sunday on time. I know there's some that can't always make it on time, but we can set our clocks a little bit earlier. But how can we come and participate? How can we come and celebrate? How can we contribute our gifts? How can we be those missionaries that we are called to serve right here locally and throughout the world? Like I said, we were on fire and are still on fire. There's a number of us that meet every week, and we began initially with some prayer times that we have set aside for ourselves. This morning, I want to invite each and every one of you to join us in that prayer time. Set your clocks for 10 a.m. every morning and 2 p.m. every afternoon, and just quietly say an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be, and then pray intentionally for our parish that we can continue to grow and be agents of change right here. So set your clocks at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock to pray that with us. The 8 of us that are on the team now, we do this every day. My phone beeps at 10 o'clock and it beeps again at 2 o'clock. And when I'm done with a phone call or a client meeting, I then go into prayer time and pray intentionally for each and every one of you in our parish. I want all of you to join us in that process. So we committed as a team to daily prayer. We committed as a team to work on ways to enhance our worship experience here at the church. One of those things we started today. We talked about it last week, that we want to enter into a period of silence before Mass begins. And so for those who were here early, you noticed that we had the lights were dimmed down lower. There was Gregorian chant music playing. There was hopefully no commotion going on here in church as we began to place ourselves in the presence of God so that we could receive him worthily in his word and in his sacrament. Did people notice the change this morning? Do you like that change? Do we like that change?
Yes.
All right, we're going to continue to do that. You notice also that just before Mass began, we wrote this past week and tweaked it. We wrote a parish prayer, which we all prayed this morning. Now, some say it's a little bit long. That's okay. But we want to intentionally enter into that prayer just before we begin Mass to remind us of those gifts that we have, to remind us of how we are to use them, and to remind us of what we need to do to grow as his disciples. And then at the end of Mass, after I do the final commissioning, we will pray together as a family the prayer to St. Michael, and the defender of battle, or to defend us in battle. And after listening to the news last night, and for all of you who listen to the news about what's going on in the world, there's no doubt that the presence of evil is there. And so we need to join and do our part as prayer warriors to end the evil that exists in our society. We can make a difference if we all intentionally go about that time of prayer. Don't just say, oh, my voice doesn't mean anything. Yes, it does. So pray intentionally as we pray this prayer of St. Michael later on. Pray that the evil in our world will cease. So we committed also to being very positive about each other. Now that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? We all like to... But we continue now to be positive about each other and to help each other as we move along. Whether we will all stay on this team or not, that remains to be seen. But we're intentionally trying to be more positive to each other. But most of all, we committed to you, our brothers and sisters, to listen, to pray, to act, and to change, to help to beautify, to help to glorify, and to help live as his hands and feet. Now, we'll take small steps at first, but notice I said that we intend to listen. That doesn't mean we're going to act on each and every comment that's brought before us. We are merely an advisory council or an advisory team to the pastor. But he listens. Father Sonny listens. I got hit this morning at before the 9 o'clock Mass with a request that we move the statue of Mary 6 inches. Now, I'm probably not going to do that. But that was one of the sillier of requests that are made. Now, so we're not going to act on all of the silly requests, okay? But we will act on those that we can and help, that will help all of us as a congregation continue to unpack those gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us so that we can be those disciples he calls us to be. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, one of the many of the great teachers of the 20th century, who himself may be canonized as a saint in the not-too-distant future, taught us that life is worth living. He said further that life is worth living when it is lived with God. On this feast of Pentecost, let us together recognize that we have been given this new life in the Spirit, and that we should live our lives and each of our days, and for as many tomorrows as we are promised to have, we should live each one of them for the greater glory of our God. God bless you.